Hello, listening friends. Well, today you'll be inspired and encouraged when you hear how Sarah with Surrey Lane Home is overcoming health challenges resulting from an accident 3 years ago. We hear from December with December's Home as she shares her solution to preventing your paint from drying too quickly. Expert refinisher Katie with Katie and Company Furniture Restorations answers a question in our Ask a Refinisher segment. And we'll provide you with the details of two exciting summer contests in our newsworthy section. I'm your Zebra host, Lane Ball. Welcome to Zebras Before and After. Who isn't a fan of Sarah Hollister Jessic with Surrey Lane Home? Her work is creative with her signature stripes, folk art style, stunning colors, and let's not forget her brilliant photography. And her kindness and positive attitude is infectious. Today we hear how Sarah is overcoming the challenges she faces from a serious fall that took place 3 years ago. You will definitely be inspired. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Lane? It's so nice to talk with you today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this as well. You know, you and I have had conversations outside of the podcast about what we're going to talk about today. So I know our listeners will be eager to hear about some of the things, some of the challenges you've gone through in the past few years and how you've overcome them. I do want to ask you too, with everything that's going on, especially with the pandemic, how are you and your family? How are you guys doing as a family right now?
We're doing okay. We are kind of still sticking close to home. We're not in a hot spot, but we're just taking precautions. We do have people in our family that could be more sensitive to getting sick. So yeah. We're just kind of trying to protect everybody as much as we can. But the kids, they finished up their online learning and actually on June 11th, so not too long ago. And so now they're officially a senior, my son, and my daughter, wow, sophomore. So that's kind of amazing. I'm not sure where the time went with that, but that was quite a change for them. So, but I think now they're, you know, with being summer and just kind of having a little bit more space to get out and run around, you know, outside and just to kind of, you know, we've been doing some fishing. We have a little private lake we can go on. You know, just to get out as a family. But we're doing okay. And, you know, everything's changing and we're just trying to keep up on the latest information so we can make the best choices.
Now, what was that like for your kids going from school to online learning? Was that a hard process for them to, because, you know, obviously they're not around their friends. And then, of course, ending it, were they glad that it was over?
Well, when we first knew school was going to be, I don't know if you want to say canceled, but they said for 3 weeks, for sure, you're going to be home. Mm-hmm. So I think in everybody's head, 3 weeks, and we had spring break over that 3 weeks. So, and we almost have like a week and a half off for that. So we kind of were in the spring break mode anyways. So we just figured, oh, just a long spring break and we'll be going back, you know? Well, that never happened. And then after that, once the 3 weeks were up, that's when the online learning began. And my son, he's in a program where it's half college and half high school classes. Yeah, so that was, you know, a little bit different. Of course, my daughter was all high school classes, but it was a little bit different routine for sure. But they, you know, we kind of first few weeks, there are some ups and downs and, you know, being, I say, stuck at home has its own things going on anyways. And we still had, you know, snow and the weather was bad. So it wasn't like you could just, you know, get outside. Mm-hmm. They found their way. Each of them kind of figured out a routine and what worked best for them. And yeah, I'm glad, because that was a pretty quick, and this is what you need to do. And this is when you need to get it done. And it's different. But in a way, I think it was a good thing, because that's the way a lot of learning is done as you get in college anyways. And we might be doing more of this upcoming year, depending on what happens too. So I think a lot of positive. My daughter, she really enjoyed some of the things she did. And actually, it was fun to see some of the work that would have done in class, see more of it maybe, because obviously we're at home and being a bigger part of the learning process with them. So there was definitely some positives in seeing the whole process.
It helps too, I think, knowing that it's not just, you know, this is not just happening exclusive to them. I mean, honestly, the whole world,
Yes.
you know what I'm saying? We're all
Yes.
in this together, you know, so it's not.
Yes. This was everybody.
Yeah, right. Well, Sarah, you had an accident a few years ago that really dramatically changed your life. If you don't mind, share with our listeners about the accident.
Sure. Just over 3 years ago in February of 2017, I went up in our attic access, which is a pull-down ladder in our garage. And I remember going up because I wanted to get some stuff out, but I fell off it and I landed basically on my head. I have no memory of falling and I was unconscious. But I was so fortunate that our friend, and he is our electrician, just happened to stop by, and he was working on a project in our basement. So he saw me, kind of figured out something wasn't quite right. So he put me in his truck and took me right to the emergency room because otherwise I wouldn't have been found for quite a while. And then, of course, I spent several days in the hospital, and the doctors told me I was so lucky to be alive because they said if I was older, I would have not survived the impact of the fall. So I have a brain injury. I would be compared to somebody who's had a stroke. So I've got, had some, like, I call it the droopy muscles in my face. My legs couldn't coordinate when I tried to walk or my balance. I had slurred speech, of course, massive headache, and highly sensitive to noise and light and severe double vision. I couldn't even write my name. So I spent the next 6 weeks just in bed, sleeping or resting. But about 8 weeks into it, I had to start physical and speech therapy. And that's when I started picking up my paintbrush again, is when I was able to kind of have a little bit more mobility. And of course, the first time I did it, I dropped it and I was shaking. I could barely open my cans of paint. And really, I wondered if I was ever going to be able to paint again. But I kept practicing. Just like I was getting better in my therapies, I was getting better at holding my brush, getting out, little like tiny projects, little pieces of wood, and I was just playing around. So I kind of like traded my walking cane for my paintbrush. So, it's one of those things where I had to keep looking forward. So there was definitely a lot of fear because of all the unknowns. I was told I should really just take it easy for a year because my brain. It was swollen. And they said I should start seeing a big recovery at the year mark. But a year came and my symptoms have actually gotten worse. And so that was, of course, disappointing because in your head you have this magic mark, 1 year and I should be better. And it came and that was a real disappointment. This started our journey of searching for answers. So fast forward to, we're into almost 3.5 years, I guess, and I do have hope of recovery. Last fall, I started seeing a new doc for, I had migraine type headaches every day. So it was hard to, well, by dinner time, I hate to say my pajamas ready for bed at 7 o'clock, but that was my normal routine. That doc who was working on me about the migraines, he sent me to a eye doctor because I was still having, of course, the severe double vision. So a lot of times I haven't been able to drive, or even it was hard taking pictures because I couldn't see my furniture. So I'd have to stage it, take a picture, look at the picture, see if I need to rearrange it, and then go back and stage it. And through all of this, though, I figured out ways to cope. Okay, I couldn't do this like I used to, but if I do this, I get the same result. So I, always found ways that I could still, I guess, perform the same action, but in a different way. But when I went to see her about my eyes, she says, "You have stuff wrong with your ears. You need to go see the specialist." And he was able to diagnose me, which I haven't had a firm, very specific diagnosis of what's going on. To find the answers to how can we start the recovery process. And so now we have a plan to start healing, and it's really quite amazing. I'm just beyond thrilled, and it's going to take time. I mean, like anything, I mean, my brain, as he mentioned, the specialist said it's been not working correctly for a couple of years, and it's going to take a couple of years for it to kind of regroup. But you know, the painting, that's like, I love it. I love painting. I think it's kept me from completely going, I say, crazy or mad. It gives me a way to escape, and it's just so therapeutic. But I, you know, definitely had to thank my family, because I couldn't have done this without them, because they're the working behind the scenes, you know, lifting the furniture and getting it in my studio and taking it out of my studio and, you know, dropping it off at the shop that I sell it at. So, but it's something that every day, even when I was having some hard days, the hope of, you know, I'm getting there. We're, you know, seeing people who know what's going on. And that's the one thing, you just can't give up.
Yes.
Because there's hope.
That hope is everything, isn't it? I mean, when you're...
It is.
When you don't really know the outcome, I mean, you're in the middle of it and you're struggling and you're fighting and you want to get back to the way you were before the accident, to be able to have hope to move you forward and to drive you on. And it sounds like you certainly have received that and continue to receive that from your family and friends, which is so important, but also from the medical side of things, to be able to find out what's going on. Just tell me, you know, you talk to a lot of people with many challenges and people just want answers. People want to know what's going on. Give me the details so that I can know the reality of the situation. You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about when the accident happened, and, you know, what a blessing to have this electrician friend to, you know, you mentioned that as well, to have found you and take you to the hospital. Were you conscious when he took you to the hospital? Do you remember that portion?
No, really? None of it. No.
Wow.
Just so lucky that he did it. He just says, you know, I've been on, obviously working, you know, he said job sites or whatever. And he said, well, I knew something wasn't right. And he said, the best thing to do is just always take you to the, and he said, you couldn't make a decision, so I made it for you. And, you know, and thank God he did.
Now, at what point do you recall remembering from, now you said you don't remember the accident, but when do you recall being cognitive about the situation that you were in? Was that like several days at the hospital?
When I was in the emergency room, and my husband came, and I knew who he was, but I couldn't really talk or, I mean, it was slurred speech. And, but I am like, why am I sitting in the emergency room? Because 2 weeks prior, I'd been in the emergency with my son, because he had broken his hand skiing. So I was like, I thought, am I just having this really weird dream? What's going on? Because I knew all this stuff because I had just been there. And so that was, and I'm like, what happened? Why is my head feel, you know, and this is all thoughts in my head because I couldn't really speak. Like, why does my head feel so bad? And why is there blood all over? And, you know, like, what's going on here? And so I had a hard time putting things together. Of course, my husband had talked to our friend and got the details of what he saw. But it, I mean, I couldn't really understand everything going on. I mean, it was.
Sure.
I knew I hurt. And I knew I was in the right spot. And that's scary, too, because I can't function like I normally would. What's going to happen to, oh, of course, you know, I thought about my kids and will I, you know, can I walk okay? Or wait, I can't even walk. I can't even sit up because I'm vomiting. And like, what's wrong with me? So that I think is scary in itself, when your body's doing things you have no control over, and you wonder, how long is this going to last? And there's fear. I mean, the fear is huge. And, you know, thank goodness we have these amazing people who work in emergency rooms who do amazing jobs, because it's scary. And they do everything they can to get you, you know, to the point of where you need to be. Of course, I had to stay at the hospital, but it's just a scary situation, because I couldn't even wrap my head around what was trying to happen.
Well, and for your husband and kids as well, to, you know, not have been home, to find out, you know, you're in the hospital, and trying to figure things out, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together, that must have been pretty traumatic for them.
That was hard. And we talked more about that, obviously, after I'd been home a while, because they were in sixth and eighth grade. And of course, I couldn't I was in bed for 6 weeks. They
Wow.
kind of, I say, grew up fast, as in doing, I mean, not that they didn't do dishes before, but doing dishes, doing laundry,
Yeah, right.
cleaning. I mean, they really had to step up and help out and be proficient with things that I did for them. And
Yeah.
so it was a big change for everybody. Of course, with my husband, he's real flexible in, what he does. And so he was be home with me a lot, but still it was a lot. He's working full time, taking care of me full time, and, wrangling two kids.
Well, I'm sure your kids probably looked at the doing dishes and those sorts of things before as chores, but I'm sure they were happy to be able to help in that way, just to see you improving and to have you home with them, because that's traumatic for everybody involved. You
Yes.
mentioned that how therapeutic painting has been for you. How many years had you been painting or doing refinishing before the accident?
Let's see if that's been going on 6 years, just over 6 years. So probably 3 years of painting furniture. I mean, I always stripped furniture and did things like that, but I didn't really start selling furniture until 6 years ago. That was a change because, I was just doing this having fun, and I was doing a lot of custom, and I just, I don't want to say punching out the pieces, but I really had a lot going on, and it was kind of full time at home. And of course that changed very quickly.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you had a side, you had a substantial business. You had a system in place and you were enjoying it.
Yes.
And then this happened and everything changed. That's a huge shift. You were talking about how therapeutic painting is. And we just talked about that you were, 3 years before the accident. Do you find yourself loving painting more today than you did before the accident?
Yes, I think my priorities definitely changed. I think when your kind of life flashes before your eyes,
Yeah.
and you think about things, it just changes. I don't do customs anymore. I just paint what I love. If I don't love it, I don't paint it, because why am I wasting my time? In my opinion, this is what I could do. I love painting a birdhouse, and I can love painting a dresser. I just paint what I love. But I also, I mean, I had. And I still do have physical limitations. When I my cognitive is better, but I cognitive issues too. There are things that I have to do a little bit differently and check five times instead of two when I measure. So there are still things that are going on. So that limits what I do also. And I've got a and right now, I'm on severe limitations, as I can't lift more than 10 pounds. I can't bend over at the waist, so I really need help, but that doesn't mean I can't do it. It just means I need to do it differently than what I have before. And so, of course, I get everything on wheels, and I usually have help. My parents are actually still with us. Back in February, they came to watch the kids while I went to one of my specialist appointments, and with the COVID-19 breakout, they decided to stay up here with us. So I have, my mom, she's been learning lots, and she's my sander. I've been, she's done it before, and so she does all my sanding. And of course, I said I'm a really great supervisor. So she, that's a lot of work too. But it's been, good that where I can kind of, and my kids, of course, they like helping, just whatever they can do, take the sometimes drawers are kind of heavy, and so they move those around for me. We, like I said, get everything on wheels or on scooters, and so it makes it easy for me. It's just, just working with what limitations I do have. But really, I don't even think it is limitations. It's more of a challenge. Okay, I know there are things I really I cannot do, but how can I do them without crossing that line of, where it's not good for me? So I always like to look at things like that. It's a challenge. How can I accomplish this and make it work? And I think if I look at life that way, then it's just finding a different way than what we normally, maybe we would have done something. And
Well, and you can't live in a state of frustration. And I'm sure it's
No.
frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating, but instead of just hanging out in that frustration, you're looking at it as a challenge, as you said, and trying to overcome those challenges, figuring out how to work around those challenges. You know, you mentioned that that what's changed with your business is that you don't do commissions anymore. I was wondering as well, has your style changed from before the accident to now today?
I think so. I think I kind of do more of what I love to do, like a little bit more. Because I think as furniture finishers, I think all of us can say we know white cells or gray or, you know, pieces plain. And I still do that. And I love white furniture. But I also kind of stepped out and started being, I think, more creative and adding like the folk out flowers, more colors, more layers, and really just being, maybe creating more artwork on it than I did before. And I enjoy doing that. And so I think it's changed where I just really stick to what makes my heart happy. Because if I'm like so excited about it, I don't want to quit painting. I want to like keep doing it. And I think it just, it feels good. My head is happy. I mean, I don't get headaches if my brain chemicals are feeling good, right? So there's a lot about just, you know, experimenting and trying new things. And I've even kind of looked at some furniture maybe I wouldn't have picked out before. Just, you know, I should try that. Do something new. Let's try it, you know. And just really not set limits. Just really look outside of what maybe I normally would have done. And just have fun with it. I guess I always say that, just have fun with it. But I think that's true. If you love it and have fun, obviously it's never work when it's like that. And I think in some ways before I was kind of, you know, I was doing a lot of commissions and I got kind of tired and I found myself thinking about, oh, I just want to do something different. As in, you know, just a little bit more spice in the painting. Than painting another white dresser or gray dresser. And not that they're not beautiful dressers, but I wanted to, I guess, have more control.
Yeah. And that's just really, we've had so many conversations with artists on this podcast about that very subject and topic of, you know, really developing and growing your creativity. And I think you hit it. I mean, that's really what's key, is that you're really enjoying it, especially as a creative, because that's really where your skills are going to develop and your creativity is going to flourish. And whether that's painting more neutral tone furniture or whether that's painting folk style with a lot of invigorating colors. And so it's really about developing your own style and making sure you enjoy it. And it's really good to hear that you not accepted these challenges as limitations, but you've worked around them. And that's motivating and inspiring for all of us. I would ask you as well, because I know a lot of people want to hear this, what, with respect to where you are today and the progress you've made, and then looking forward with some of the medical care you're getting, are you still getting a lot of hope and encouragement from the track you're on?
Yes. I think too, when you find the doctor that works for you, or healthcare professional or something, and they lay out a plan and they'll give you a backup plan and it fits with your philosophy of healthcare, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. And it really is just like, wow, there could be an end to this. And even, you know, Lane, even if I don't completely heal where I was before, I know so much more. I know how I can, what's the word I want to use? Like, deal with it, maybe. I would love more healing and I would love to, you know, progress further along. But knowing what's wrong, I think is the biggest thing. For me, it was. Because nobody knew and I kept being shoved off to doctor, you know. And everybody kind of said the same thing. Well, you know, well, no, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. And so I think just that in itself and having a plan that fits what I feel comfortable with is really just awesome. Yeah. But it took me a long time to get there, finding that person. But again, it's just hope. And it will take some time for me to do some healing and My specialist is out of state, so I'm one of these days have to get back down there. But we've had, with life going on around us, it's not as easy as for my situation to get back there right now. But it comes down to there's hope, and I think it's exciting. And till I get to the point, I know what I need to do to make my life more as most comfortable as I can and help with my healing. That's awesome. I mean, when I can say I need to do this, this, and this to help me with my headaches, my double vision, and everything, that's great because I have answers. It makes it all better. Even though it's going to take a while to get all better, or and I may not get all better, and I'm okay with that. I think that's the other thing too. We get to a point where we spend so much time being frustrated on not being normal, but I think there's a point I've kind of crossed over where, okay, this is me. I'm not the old me. I will never be that normal, but I like myself and I've learned a lot and I understand so many more things about medical issues, and it's been maybe enlightening to go through this and to understand how the body works, and the brain is amazing. But it does need some TLC too. And that's what we're working on to help the rest of the eyes and ears and head all work together. So it's all good. All good stuff.
Well, you mentioned this earlier, but I would just reiterate, there is so much health talent out there. There's so many facets of technology and new understandings of how, like you said, the body works and different types of treatments. And there's so many options for people. And so we're just really excited to hear that you have found something that is giving you insight and understanding to the challenges that you face and how to overcome them and heal. And that's just it's so exciting to hear this and your positive, response to this tragic accident and how you have overcome it and continue to overcome it. I mean, it's, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be surprised to even hear this because they see the work that you produce on your accounts. And that's just amazing. That's inspiring. And with that, I do want to also bring up because you have given your followers, especially through Instagram, some insight into your Airbnb. And so I don't know. That's interesting. That sounds a bit overwhelming when you think about having an Airbnb. How tell us when you started that, and is that like has that been a lot of fun? Has that what's that like having an Airbnb?
Well, let's just say we jumped 2 feet not knowing anything, really. We our neighbor had told us that he had planned on moving after his girls were done with college, and he said, if you're interested in the house, because we had, my parents and some other people who would maybe like to come up, and so we said, yeah, let us know. Well, his life changed, and it was several years earlier than what he expected, and so he gave us a week to decide what we wanted to
Wow,
do.
that's
So,
not a lot of time.
no, we were like, what, huh? But we bought it. And we bought it in July of 2018. And really, we didn't know what we were going to do with it. We just knew we wanted to buy it and we would figure it out. So, but then we're like, my parents weren't quite ready yet to be here full time. And, some other things. We thought, you know what, let's do short-term rental. And we decided to go with Airbnb. And of course, we spent the first 3 months really going through and updating. We did stuff. Of course, my parents actually came up to help at that time. And then we hired professionals for anything else that we needed to do. But we had to decorate the whole place too and find furniture. And so it all became something that we did not have a plan for, but it turned out excellent. It just kind of evolved. Once we did get everything together, we started running last summer and we were pretty much booked all the way through October. We had a great experience with it. We really had no idea kind of what we were getting into other than, we're renting it out. We put a lot of investment into making it really nice. And of course, I painted a lot of furniture and decorating.
It's probably a museum
And
of your work.
it's kind of fun. I do walk through it and think, oh, this is cool, this is cool. But obviously, I have no room in my house. But it's kind of fun to take a room and really just do it from scratch. And we had fun, looking for furniture and then just coordinating everything and making kind of little themed rooms and themes throughout the house. Obviously, Northern Michigan was the big one since we're up here. But we really had just fabulous feedback from our guests. And we actually went through the winter because we have two major ski, actually, well, two close by ski hills or ski resorts, and then one that's like 20 minutes away. But so we were actually booked all winter too, long weekends. So that really was like a great year. Just, and it's work, I'm not gonna lie. I've never
Yeah, a
done
lot
so
of
much
cleanup.
laundry.
Yeah. Do you see the guests like when they come? Do you I'm sure it's different from
No,
different Airbnbs.
we don't unless they want to. We give them the option, but we have like keyless entry in the garage and the front door. So, we want them to have their privacy. We don't tell them we live next door. We have room for like it's 4 bedroom, 3 bath home. So we have 8 people. So we just kind of keep it like as private. There's been a couple of people who said, if you're around or something, we would love to meet you. So we've gone over. Really, really cool, amazing people. A lot of them just visiting. So it's been fun, but we've learned a lot. It's just been another neat business. But it keeps you busy too. It's almost another full-time job in one way. It's like I said, you better like doing laundry. We have somebody who comes and clean, but she can't stay there and do like 20 loads of laundry. But here's the other thing too. I cannot imagine not living next door.
Really?
Because I walk over, flip laundry or whatever. So that's been a huge convenience for us to do what we do. I'm not sure if we had to drive, across town or something to take care of it, where we were able to do kind of all the special touches and making sure if somebody does have a problem, we're right here. We've had to go over and they really appreciate it. And they said, well, God, we had no idea you were next door. We said, well, we don't really want you to think we're next door, but we can, take care of this right now for you. So we've, it's really been a great business for us. Now this year, we decided to close it though, with everything going on. That was kind of a hard decision, but safety is our number one for everybody involved that helps us with it. And but you know what? It's next door. It was fun. We're learning lots. We still learn, and it was really neat to kind of go through the whole process of buying, redoing, furnishing, and renting out, and then getting feedback. And we ask guests if there's is there anything that we could do differently or provide? So we've gotten some nice comments and some things we're like, oh, we never thought about that. And it's just been r a great learning experience too. But it is, I'm not gonna lie, it's a lot of work. It's enjoyable, but it's not something you can spend a couple hours a week on. It's definitely something to make it, I think, a profitable business, like anything, you're going to spend time on it.
What would you say is the hardest part of running an Airbnb?
Gosh, that's a good question. The hardest part, probably,
Maybe the laundry?
I was going to say, I kind of get tired of laundry, but I have, and here's the thing, maybe I drive myself crazy. I like white sheets and like towels and I like a bright white. So maybe I do drive myself a little crazy, but I think it's pretty because I like to set the towels out with the special soap, on a tray. And we really just like to make it when people come in feel like they're in a special place. We leave like lots of snacks and I've got all these painted bowls with different stuff in them. And we've really have had fun with it and just making this. Well, we think, what would we want if we were going to stay somewhere? And so we kind of use that philosophy. Okay, it'd be really cool if we had like a robe. So we've got robes for, the rooms and, we want the big sheet or the big bath towels, not the skinny little ones. We want to make sure there's plenty of, you know, dish towels. And one person, when we first started, right, we didn't have chip clips. Never once did I think of chip clips. So so we got plenty of chip clips now. So we're always learning, and we just always think, what, how can we make this better? How can we make this more fun? And of course I keep painting little things here and there. And so that's always ongoing, finding, because you know, last couple of months a little slow, but you know, I always am kind of like, what can I do to make this just more special? Because we do want people to have a good time and relaxing, and I want them to feel like they're really, that we care about them being there and treated our home nice. And you know, when they leave and we go in, it's, they leave us notes, and it's really cool because we never thought about that. We have a chalkboard in there, and they'll leave little notes on that, and there's all kinds of like little fun things. I think as a business, it's a very, I think it's very personal business, because we're providing what we think. And two, it can be scary. We were so nervous when we started running it. We're like, what if nobody likes it? And, you know, maybe we don't have enough of everything. And so we don't worry about that anymore. But there's that nervousness, like anything. I think when I create a furniture, that's something maybe different, that kind of that same feeling of, what if it's not good enough? You know, because sometimes we doubt ourselves. And we did go through that with this. Here we spent, you know, a lot of time and money, and now, you know, is this really going to work? But it's been just really great. It's something that is, it's working. Something we never would have thought. If somebody would have told us, you know, 3 years ago, we'd be doing this, I'd be like, yeah, right, you're crazy. But we enjoy it. And, you know, who knows? I'm not thinking we'll probably do this forever, but for right now it works. And, it's been fun. And I think just the experience too, if you like, I say, providing like that hosting experience and providing the, you know, customer service. And both my husband and I, we have fun with it, you know, and I think it's all because of, you know, we think, what can we do to make somebody stay here in our little town, something special. And obviously it works good for us because, you know, it helps us. And, but it provides memories and experiences and keeps people coming up in our area, since our biggest, you know, economy is people coming to visit our area.
You know, you said you may not do this forever, but that's the neat thing about this, is you have options, right? Beyond an Airbnb, whether you rent the house someday or whether you sell the house, or you know, maybe one of your kids will end up living there. So there's so many options with it. And the important thing is that you're having a lot of fun with it now, and it's beneficial. I bet you get some really good reviews, because to be able to provide that kind of customer service, that means a lot. I mean, that means a lot to everybody.
Brag a little bit, just a little. So far, we've had all 5-star reviews on Airbnb, which is amazing, because we always hold our breath. Just because we're like, you know, what if something went wrong, or, you know, and I know that sounds goofy, but it's something that we've enjoyed doing and just providing the experience. But you're so right about, if we don't do this forever, our long-term goal with the house was buying it. And maybe that, like you mentioned, is, you know, maybe want the kids, or, you know, maybe rent, you know, who knows, but it's something that we have. And there are options for it. So that's true.
Well, I think one of the things that's key that you touched on too, with respect to customer service, is really that you enjoy people and that you respect people. And, you know, we've tried to do that as a company, because those are two very true aspects of who we are and what we do. Things aren't always going to go right. I mean, things happen. It's an imperfect world. Somebody's going to show up at your Airbnb and something may break down, but it's always about your response to what they're dealing with. Number one, that you're there, you're listening, and you're available to make it right. That is, that's so huge. I mean, you talk about trying to make it the Airbnb the way you would want it if you showed up. And, you know, I think that way too, because it's like, how would I want to be responded to if I had a problem, you know, whether it's a company or whether it's a neighbor or a circumstance with a friend? It's always just respecting that person's what they're saying and responding out of love, really.
Yes.
So hats off to you guys. And that's cool too, that, you know, you've got these businesses, these two businesses with your refinishing business, and then as well with your Airbnb, that it's really a family affair in many respects.
Yes. And it's, yeah, I mean, it keeps us all busy. I mean, my kids obviously help out with the Airbnb too. And so we all, you know, my husband has his, we call them little jobs that he does, and then ones that I do, and then ones my kids do when somebody leaves. So mm-hmm. it's been kind of a neat family business, really.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just been, and I got to just tell you something funny. I don't know if you remember when you lived here. I think they were cans are 10 cents a piece. like pop cans and stuff. And yeah, maybe you don't, or maybe they weren't then. I don't know. But anyway, so people, we have, you know, a special little thing in the garage where we have like all the recycle and the cans, and mm-hmm. people most of the time leave them. And so my kids, take care of those. So they'll take them in and, you know, get the 10 cents for them and stuff. And we'll donate it to a kid's program or something for a nonprofit, mm-hmm. but that's kind of like their little thing they take care of. But so it's all kinds of fun little things that we do that we can, it's kind of like the, and this is kind of, I don't know, funny saying this, but like when you live in your house, it's personal. You've got stuff all over this house here. There is nothing personal. Like, so it's just like this fun place to go, and there's nothing that you have to like put away or pick up mm-hmm. because it's just for show. I mean, that's what it is. And so, you know, sometimes I go over there and I can just sit there in the living room. I, you know, turn the fireplace on. I don't think about, you know, my laundry or, you know, vacuuming or dusting or whatever else. I can just like have my own little mini vacation over in our Airbnb. but it's been kind of fun. You know, it's gives us just, like I said, a little family business we can work on, and it's right next door. So it's just, it kind of, it's perfect for us.
You've certainly made it appealing, I'm sure, to a lot of people. You have for me as well. Sarah, you are one of the kindest folks I know. Always thoughtful. You inspire many, not just with your work, but also with your personality. You are a gem for sure. You know, it's so good to hear that you are on the road to recovery. And we pray that only continues, and we trust others have been inspired by your story. Thanks for sharing. And we will definitely talk again.
That sounds wonderful, Lean. And I always appreciate chatting with you and just, you know, sharing. And if anybody has any questions, they can always, you know, get a hold of me through, you know, Facebook or Instagram too. Because I'm always happy to share about my progress or what mm-hmm. I'm finding too. So I just want to let, you know, the listeners know that I, you know, I have no secrets about my healthcare, and if somebody is experiencing something different, if I can help them, I'm more than happy to. I mean, it just takes, I think, you know, like the village to help heal too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had so much help from my family, my friends, and, you know, mm-hmm. healthcare providers, you know, mm-hmm. the ones I appreciate most are the ones who say, I have no idea, but you know what? Let me send you to somebody who I think might be able to mm-hmm. at least look at it. I mean, I love that. Let's just be honest and help each other out.
Right. Well, go ahead and give, just in case there are some listeners that are just learning about you, what is your Instagram or your Facebook, maybe both of those, so they can get a hold of you and contact you?
With Instagram, it's Surrey_Lane_home. And then with Facebook, it's just Surrey Lane Home.
Very good.
So yeah, feel free to message me if I can help you.
Sarah, thanks again for taking the time. And we hope and pray you have a great day today.
And you too, Lane. As always, I appreciate your company and everything that you do for not only furniture refinishers, but everybody. I mean, I think it's like you're kind, you listen, and customer service is your number one. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's encouraging to hear that. We appreciate that. You take care.
All right. You too, Lane. Thank you.
Support for this podcast is made possible by Zebra, makers of the high-end yet affordable line of application-specific paintbrushes. Do you know what makes our brushes so desirable? They feature small diameter filaments that are exclusively designed to pick up and release paint in a controlled flow, leaving your finish as smooth as, well, a baby's bottom. And on top of that, each brush is designed for specific applications in mind. We won't report you, however, if you use a brush designed for one application and another application. That just means you have had so much fun painting you can't stop. Seriously, we do hope you enjoy using Zebra paintbrushes. We have designed them to be an extension of your hand so that every artful stroke of your hand leaves down the exact finish you desire. Enjoyable painting means enjoyable results. If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Put refinishing tip in the subject line and describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tip comes from December with December's Home.
Hi, this is December of December's Home, and I have a tip that is especially helpful if you live in a hot and dry climate like I do, where paint dries really fast. When I'm painting a piece with a brush, I always have a spray bottle close by, filled with water. Most furniture paints are water-based, so it's safe to add water to them. I use the spray bottle to spritz the paint and the brush periodically during the painting process. Adding the water keeps the paint from drying too quickly, giving me more time to apply it evenly over the surface. This helps to achieve a smoother finish with little to no brush stroke. This also helps to avoid unwanted paint from drying onto the brush's bristles, making it easier to clean when the project is done.
Thanks, December. We love your tip to assist in keeping paint from drying too quickly. If you would like to learn more about December and her work, you can follow her on Instagram at December_home. When refinishers ask each other questions, you know they are going to be helpful and insightful. In our Ask a Refinisher segment, we give you the opportunity to ask another refinisher of your choice a refinishing question. If you have a question that you would like to ask and have it shared on the podcast, reach out and let us know your question via email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Today's question is for Katie Cloud of Katie & Company Furniture Restorations. Hi, Katie. It's always nice to chat with you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Lane?
I'm doing good. You know, you have so much going on with multiple businesses. Can you give us an update?
Oh, gosh. So furniture, obviously. I've just kind of taken a little break from it. I've stepped away and have been really focusing on my candle business. Yeah. And it's been going really, really good, which... it's amazing to me. I wake up every day and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I'm doing this. And yeah, today's the first day I painted something for like 5 weeks, I think. So that was kind of nice to take a nice little break. And it's nice to be able to go back and forth between the two of those. We also, this is another thing that we're kind of doing on the side. Nothing is really in a hurry. We actually sold my brick and mortar, and I just felt like I needed a break, you know, get away from that for a while. It was just too much going on. And online is such a big thing right now. Mm-hmm. So I was focusing more on that. But we bought the grocery store in my hometown. My hometown's like 600 population, so it's really small. But the grocery store is like from 1855. And we're actually renovating the grocery store so I can have somewhere to make my candles to move that to, so I have some more space. And also working on up on the upstairs, there's three apartments. And we got a grant from the state to work on the upstairs. So lots going on all the time.
Man, that is incredible. How cool. Now, what did you say the grocery store is from? What did you say, 1850s?
1855, yeah. Wow. That's where the abstract, that's how kind of far back we got. So that's, I guess, we're kind of guessing is when it was. Yeah. We've done a lot of research, though, with the town and tried to figure out more about it. It seems it's always been like a dry goods grocery store. And then one side of it, there were two separate entrances, which is cool. One side of it was like the drugstore. Mm-hmm. So it's got the old tin ceiling in it that we're restoring, and it's got old wood floors. And my dad and my husband think I'm absolutely nuts because I said, we are peeling this old floor up and I want to see what is underneath of it. And, you know, that's a big risk. This building is huge. I can't think of the actual dimensions, but they're like, Katie, this is so much work. I'm like, that's okay. Like, that's what we do. I want to know what's under here. And if I don't find out, I'm going to go nuts. So we've been, had the floor torn up. We're about halfway done. The wood floor is awesome. For one part of it, one side of it, the grocery store part, it's good. The other side, it's kind of banged up a little bit, but I have a good idea of what I want to do with that.
Yeah, you mentioned the tin ceiling, and I was going to ask you about that, but I have to ask you this as well. Have you found anything in the walls? Like, have you found any like really cool things that you can take to the Antiques Roadshow and make about $500,000 off of?
I wish. So no, I mean, the only thing we found is some coins. Nothing really old, since it was a grocery store. And like, I was in there when I was little, as it being a grocery store. It's been closed now for several years, but there was an old candy that they don't make anymore that I found. And I'm like, oh, this is so nostalgic. It just brought back memories but nothing yet, but that's not to say we won't. So found some cool old grates in the floor, an old like paint, like a print was stuck on the wall and, but nothing that's going to make me millions yet.
Well, I guess your treasures are in things like the tin ceiling and the wood floors, because that is awesome to be able to have a space like that. And to be able to do what you're doing with it, people will love, you know, that. People really enjoy that. And you're going to have a great place to work. So you said you're going to be manufacturing your candles in there?
Yeah, that's what I'll kind of start doing. In the we'll have an area like for me in the back to do that. And then I want to have a showroom again eventually. It's just going to be a little different. I'm not going to be open every week. It'll just be more of an open house, maybe like a monthly deal, maybe a seasonal. I don't know. We haven't really decided, but we're not, like I said, we're not in a big hurry. So we're taking our time. We have so many irons in the fire. That's just kind of on the side. We're working on it when we can.
Well, as long as you're enjoying all of them, and it certainly sounds like you do, well, that place is going to be filled with a lot of amazing aromas.
Fragrances. Yeah, that's the plan.
I can share from experience that your candles are unique and just the right amount of fragrance, not too strong and not too weak. I mean, they're just really phenomenal. So wish you the best on that.
Thanks.
We have asked several folks that are interested in refinishing or refinishing newbies what questions they have for professional furniture refinishers. And we are eager to have you respond to this question, Katie, in our Ask a Refinisher segment. Today's question is, what type of furniture should I start with, or for that matter, stay away from?
Starting out, I would suggest or say to stick with solid wood pieces of furniture. Then you're not running into, you know, swelling if it's particle board or press board or whatever. Really check your drawers out. Make sure that they're in good condition, because repairing them can be a little bit tough. It's something that you definitely learn along the way, but starting out, just make sure the piece is solid wood. It's got good bones. I wouldn't suggest like buying something, that's been sitting in like a damp basement, you know, like that. Make sure you check the piece out really good. Make sure it's clean and smells good. I know that furniture can take on the smells like of people's house and like sometimes their garage or whatever it may be. So just start there and don't spend a lot of money. I feel like, you know, your thrift stores are good places to look, marketplace on Facebook, obviously, and Craigslist. But don't break your budget when you're starting. When I started, I would buy anywhere from free to maybe $45, $50 on pieces, just because, you know, you're learning, you're still trial and erroring a lot. And I'm still doing that years later, but then you're not feeling like you wasted so much money and time if something were to go wrong, if that makes sense. But, and then gradually work your way up in like size and price as you go.
Yeah. So basically you're saying too, because I know we see a lot of people talk about removal of veneer, you know, bad veneer. That always looks like that would be just so much work involved. And so that's really good advice. So you're saying stay away from things like that. And that's what you mean when you say good bones, good structure. What about, should folks look for painted or unpainted pieces? Like is that a possibility as a guideline?
I would stick to unpainted because most of the time you don't know right offhand what was used to paint the piece prior. So you can get a piece that was painted in latex and never prepped, and you're going to have to peel and pry and sand and get all of that off before you even apply anything, any other paint. You don't know if it was sealed with wax, which means you also have to remove every single bit of it to get that wax off, to start with your fresh coat of paint. You can get lead paint, so you need to make sure if you're getting something really old that you're checking on the lead paint. So yeah, I would suggest an unpainted piece to start. It's nice when you get those free ones, you can't resist that free piece that's painted, but just know that's going to take extra time and extra work.
Hey, I gotta ask you, do you remember your first piece? I mean, you've done a ton of pieces, Katie. So, what was your first piece?
Oh my gosh, that I did by myself. I think I must have been 20 years old. I lived in Omaha. I lived in a little apartment and had a little balcony, and I just bought this little coffee table that had casters on it. It was so cool. I think it was like $5. And I, this is funny. I didn't have any sandpaper at the time or a sanding block, nothing. I had a fingernail buffer, like a four-sided
No, are
block
you
fingernail
serious?
buffer. And that is what I was trying to prep this piece of furniture with. And I painted it on my balcony, and I think I probably distressed it with the same sanding block, and I waxed it, and that was my very first piece I did for myself.
So you kept it for yourself?
I still have it.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, I think it's
Oh,
down in
that's
the
great.
storage shed, but I still have it years later.
Well, it's always cool to hear when you talk to successful furniture finishers like yourself, where they started and the process. I know that's encouraging, inspiring for a lot of folks. Well, that is great advice, Katie. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we certainly wish you the best keeping up to date with what's going on with you and your businesses, especially with the candles. And it's always exciting to hear that you're still keeping involved in the furniture refinishing. Your talents are too great to leave that totally.
Thank you. I love it. I truly do. I don't know how I would ever get away from it either. And yeah, I'm still buying pieces, so don't worry.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, you have a great day, Katie.
Thanks, Lane. You too.
It's officially summer, and we have two contest opportunities for you. The Zebra Review June 2020 theme of Beachy Blues is still open until June 30th, 2020. It's all about blue hues from the deep blue you see out on the ocean's horizon to the aqua blues working their way into the sandy shorelines. You pick the blue, paint it, and enter it. Use the hashtag TheZebraReview, and you'll have your piece before a judging panel as they will choose three winners. Great prizes await the winners from The Real Milk Paint Company, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paint Brushes. All pieces in blue refinished from January 2020 to June 30th, 2020 are eligible for entry. Zebra Collective Summer Quarterly Contest is open for entries as well. There are so many ways to illustrate and evoke the summer through furniture design, from vibrant colors to whimsical, cheery themes to natural and tropical vibes. Make sure you tag your pieces with the hashtag Zebra Collective. A huge thank you to our prize sponsors, who range from Fusion Mineral Paint, Steel Birch Botanical Skincare, The Quote House Prints, and our Zebra Paint Brushes. All pieces that were refinished from May 1st, 2020 through July 25th, 2020 may be entered. We can't wait to see all your summer-inspired pieces. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blog's Before and After Furniture Refinishing podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com, along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.